I'm feeling strange because it dawned on me as I arrived this morning. In many ways, this is perhaps my last official sermon as your pastor. And 4 years ago, the Lord clearly instructed Lynn and I to come to MCF and sit in this assembly. And we did sit about where Jean's sitting right now. And we often sat there wondering, what on earth are we doing here? Yeah, we were worshipping and you know, it wasn't strange or unfamiliar or any of those things, but we thought, what are we doing here? We sat because we had heard from the Lord and we knew that there was an assignment of some sort coming. Though initially we didn't know what it was specifically. There are a number of opportunities on the go, but if you're like me, you're only interested in the one door that God opens, and he has to open it. Anyway, we soon began to discern what might be coming. Now, I want to take you back to Moses, and if you turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 14, and I'll just keep referring back to that. Because of time, I won't read the whole chapter, and which always reminds me of the story of the guy who was looking for a job, and he went to the news agent and said, you've got a job, and he really didn't have a job, but he said, look, I've got a box of Bibles that have been sitting on the back shelf for 20 years. If you can sell them, you've got a job. Anyway, within an hour, the guy's back, and he sold all the Bibles. And the real estate agent, how did you do that? And he said, well, I knocked on the door and I said to them, would you like me to buy a Bible? Or would you like me to read a chapter? It was worth the wait. Back in Moses' time, we see there's an assignment for him. And at a very senior age, 80, he was to lead God's people to a promise. There were two routes to Canaan, the nearest through the land of the Philistines, but to take that route would have exposed the Hebrews to the very sights and practices that really disturbed 10 of the 12 spies in not too many days to come. The easy route, or the most popular routes, are seldom the best routes. The Israelites would have had to fight for every mile they advanced. This would have been too great an ordeal for their young faith. God had some character building, some corrections, some adjustments, some organizational plans to undertake in his people so that they might better serve and represent him as his people, as the Bible refers to them, his church in the wilderness. So God, like the mother eagle, bore them on his wings. The Lord conducted the march in the cloud of fire by night and the cloud of mist by day. And so God deals with us still, tempering all those winds of adversity to the capacity of us, ourselves, his shorn lambs. Patience and faith are still severely tested by the circuitous and laborious route of life. But later, when we see the fruit, we understand God's reason for his times of preparation of us. When we see the glory of what he has done, I tell you, folks, we will be satisfied with the result. And church, in the days ahead, I believe you will be deeply satisfied with the decision that you make today. There are many lessons learned on the wilderness route, and how often God leads us in what seems to be impossible positions, so that in our absolute extremities, when we come to our wits' ends, there is only room for him to work. And all is wonderfully done by him and in love. So MCF, here we are, we're 40 years of age, and the question is simple. Are you ready to take the Lord's leading and step towards our present day Red Sea? As I wrote this, I remembered as a kid how I loved those old movies of wagoners heading west, never retreating, pressing on for the dream ahead of them. And I can still hear the cry every morning after they've had their breakfast and packed their wagons, forward ho! And off they'd go. And that thing just came to me. So in my last moments, I'm saying to church, forward ho! Challenging times are upon us, and such times require absolute confidence in God. Regardless of what we see around us, or even more to the point, what we think we know. The elders' decision has come about by what God has told us. Yes, we learned a lot over the past 3 years, but that recommendation is not based on what we know, though that's a considerable part of it, and it undergirds that recommendation. At the end of the day, though, it's based on what God has told us to do, and each of us has come to the same individual conclusion. We thought it wise to include in our discussions and our interviews both Nigel and Pam, and I'm really grateful for their time and support in this search. The Australian coat of arms pictures two creatures, the emu, which is a flightless bird, and the kangaroo, which is flightless as well, but that's not the point. Do you know why those two creatures were chosen? Yes. Somebody does, that's good. Don't say it because you'll spoil my next line. The animals were thoughtfully chosen because they share a characteristic that appealed to those writing the Constitution and Australian citizens at that time. Both the emu and the kangaroo can only move forwards, not backwards. The emu's three-toed foot causes it to fall if it tries to go backwards, and the kangaroo is prevented from moving in reverse by its large tail used for balance in forward movement. And those who truly choose to follow Jesus, perhaps we could picture being a bit like the emu and kangaroo, moving only forward. Forward ho! Step by step toward the goal. Doesn't mean to say that there aren't trials and tribulations, but forward is the way to go. Never backwards, never retreating. So in our scripture for today, that's chapter 14, God's people faced what seemed, first of all, a hopeless or helpless situation. Exodus 14:3. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. Wow. Well, some of us know what it's like to be shut in, and sometimes you can feel entangled in that place of enclosure and you're reluctant to step out of it. It takes time. You know, every reason I've ever heard for not wanting to move forward with life really stems from one thing. Underneath it all, it's fear. You know, inactivity, inexperience, inability are perhaps all involved as well. People sometimes feel that it seems like a mistake following the leadership of God because it requires faith. Psalm 71 verse 10, for mine enemies speak against me, they lay wait for my soul, they take counsel together saying, God has forsaken him, persecute and take him, for there's none to deliver him. But our God fights our battles and our God delivers. The people also had a desperate cry in their hearts, chapter 14 verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. They had followed Moses in obedience, having seen all the miracles that God had just wrought over Egypt, yet fear made them think that they seemed worse off now than before, verses 11 to 12. Jehoshaphat had that problem with the Moabites and the Ammonites in 2 Chronicles 20:12. The people may have feared, they may have been faithless, but Moses had, my third point, perfect confidence. Exodus 14, verses 13 to 14. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Folks, though I am about to hand the baton on, though I am about to surrender my mantle to another, still I say to you with absolute confidence, fear not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, hold your peace, and just see what the Lord does. Just see what the Lord does. Christ is a present help in this time of transition. He knows how to deliver. He will fight for us and deliver us victoriously. So let's hold our peace and just see what he does. The fourth thing I want to share, and I see expressed in that passage, is in Exodus 14, verse 15, and that's saving faith. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. So Moses was directed by the Lord to stop questioning God, stop seeking me. I've told you what to do. I've told you about the issue. Just tell the people what I've said to you. Tell them that. And there is a part that the people had to do, just as we have to do and I have to do, and that's take a step forward. And that requires a decision of faith. The people were saved by faith enacted, not of intellect, of persuasion, or of feelings, or of selfish desires. And God is not the author of confusion. So we just respond according to his leading, and I believe that leading is going to be absolutely profound. I welcome the reality of all those impossibilities up ahead, because those impossible things allow God to sovereignly work. If we had all the answers worked out in advance, you and I would both know this is not of God. His work is always forward. It always requires trust and faith and submission and obedience. Defeat or victory lay in the people's hands that day. They could have gone back. They could have not done anything and perished or made a decision, and they moved towards the sea and lived. What I know is this, in faith, Lynn and I have completed our assignment from the Lord. It has come to an end, full stop. We, with Andre and Karen, have been quietly but actively praying, searching, investigating, discussing for 3 years. And the time has now come for me, for us, to stop beseeching the Lord. He has answered. And we are to speak clearly to you, the people, and that we have done. The final decision is yours, but irrespective, our assignment and our commission from the Lord is ended. It's always obedience which gives us as a church the clear victory. The people back then were called in Scripture the church in the wilderness, but they had perfect protection, just as the church in Mombolt today experiences the same divine protection. Exodus 14, verses 19 to 20. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. God will be faithful to you as he was with the people of Israel and their leader. Psalm 37, 24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. God's pillar of cloud and fire was for them, and his Holy Spirit is indwelling us for all the same reasons and purposes. His presence promised for us is ever available, and like them, we shall experience the great things of God. My sixth point is impossible deliverances, Exodus 14, 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. You know, salvation, natural or spiritual, in the moment or eternal, is all of God's doing. The waters were held back until all the redeemed passed over. The people were, the Bible tells us, baptized as they went through those waters. While we sing a song about the way maker, I want to tell you, Jesus is the way maker. And those people at that time sang a triumphant song which begins in Exodus 15, and I'm just going to read verses 1 and 2. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. You know, in that song in Exodus 15, 1 to 21, there are three thines, there are 10 thous, there are 11 thys, but not one me. Psalm 115, 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. 1 Corinthians 15, 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 19, verse 1. I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. Anything and everything that God had achieved in the 37 years prior to myself and the past 3 years, and even now into whatever number of years there are till Jesus returns, the thanks, the praise, and the glory is to God alone. Amen? Have you experienced victory over the impossible? I think this recommendation that you're going to consider today is a victory over the impossible. As a church, what we're about to vote on is a truly victorious outcome. Dr. J.B. Gambrell tells an amusing story from General Stonewall Jackson's famous Valley Campaign. Jackson's army found itself on one side of a river when it needed to be on the other side. After telling his engineers to plan and build a bridge so the army could cross, he called his wagon master in to tell him that it was urgent the wagon train cross the river as soon as possible. I put my engineers onto it. Well, the wagon master started gathering all the logs, rocks, and fence railings he could find, and he built a bridge. And long before daylight, General Jackson was told by his wagon master all the wagons, all the artillery, had crossed the river. So Jackson asked, where are the engineers and what are they doing? And the wagon master said, well, they're in the tent drawing up plans for a bridge. Charles Spurgeon said, going forward supposes difficulty. You will find sometimes the path to be steep, uneven, rugged, perhaps even rough. But none but the brave go forward. The way through, though right, is not always smooth, not always pleasant, not always charmed with music and song and perfumed with the fragrance of flowers. But going forward is the right move in God. Continually moving backwards takes too much energy. Imagine driving backwards or walking everywhere backwards. There are perils that go along with it. One of my favourite comedians wrote a song once, I'm walking backwards for Christmas. And the whole song is an ode to his mental condition at that time. The people faced dangers. There was the danger of walking by sight and not by faith. There's the danger of living in the past. There's the danger of expecting an easy way. Those folk also had a dilemma. They didn't know which way to turn. They were so afraid, verse 10. The attitude of Pharaoh was exposed in verse 3. The action that was taken by the Israelites closely resembles that of the disciples on the tormentos sea. Moses' appeal stands out to me. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. The deliverer came to their rescue, as I believe he has to ours. Man's extremity is God's opportunity. And it simply becomes us to obey whenever God commands. He has a right to command. He's sovereign. We're the subjects. He's the master. We're the servants. And his commands were reasonable. We may not always understand his reasons, but there is definite purpose in every request of God. The people revealed their determination in verses 21 and 22. They obeyed. And they found four things in the sea path. There was a rebuke for murmuring. There was a reverential fear for God. There was a respectful trust in God. And they developed a right opinion of God's man. And having come to accepting God's will and moving forward, so followed the destruction of their enemies. The destruction was a judgment from God. It was sudden, it was terrible, but it was merited. And I listened to those who attempt to prevent the forward march of God's people. And they were delighted. They sang a song. And the theme was an exalted God. So here we are, about to start over again, but moving forward in God's plan. Let me finish with this. Over 2,000 years ago, a young Greek artist named Timanthes studied under a respected tutor. And after several years, the teacher's efforts seemed to have paid off when Timanthes painted an exquisite work of art. And unfortunately, became so enraptured with that one successful painting that he spent the rest of his days gazing at it. But one morning when he arrived to admire his work, he was shocked to find it blotted out with paint. And angry, Timanthes ran to his teacher, who admitted he had destroyed the painting. "I did it for your own good. That painting was retarding your progress. Start again. See if you can do better." Well, Timanthes took his teacher's advice, and he produced a painting called Sacrifice of Iphigenia, which is regarded as one of the finest paintings of antiquity. Well, my brothers and sisters, I announce to you today that we are grateful for all that God has done in the past through his servants. We thank and appreciate the ministry of those who went before us. Not any of us have been perfect, but we were called to lead. There have been four of us thus far. Now we're about to look at the possibility of a fifth, Pastor Jason Pilcher. And he can bless us with a long and vital ministry with all that God wants to do in the days ahead to transform Mombol. One of the interesting things that came out of our discussions is, how will we judge the success of this decision, this appointment? Because too often in the church, We judge by things which are important, but aren't necessarily the answer. We can the membership growing. And I can tell you now, the membership of this church is growing and is going to grow very soon. Already, some of you who are sitting here have said, "Hey, we're not members, we need to be members." And too darn right, you need to be members. So we're going to increase. But I believe there'll be even more. When we talked with Jason, we said, well, we could, you know, churches look at tithes, they look at numbers, they look at their reach. But you know, we all came to the same conclusion. If in 10 years, Mombok hasn't changed, if the culture and the tone of Mombok, the town, hasn't changed, we have not been successful. So our aim is, we change the culture of Mombok. That's the aim. Now I'm choosing to move forward, as I've said. Lynn's and my assignment is completed. Our new man will have a fantastic team to work with. And I want to genuinely and sincerely thank Andre and Karen in particular it's been a blessing to work with you guys as elders. I've never had such great comradeship, honesty, openness, transparency in an eldership. I want to thank too Pam and Nigel, who joined with us and serve on the board but helped us in this decision. And I want to thank all the ministry leaders who have served so faithfully as well. And I want to thank every person here. You really mean the world to us. And this decision actually means that Jean, next week, sorry, we're going to be sitting there. But you are about to enter a whole new, progressive, challenging, exciting, successful, advancing new era in which the kingdom of God will be glorified and in which you will sing new songs with great rejoicing. Amen. Amen.